Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today. Have you ever discovered in life, I've discovered in life, that there are questions that we have that we may never find the answer to? Have you ever, has that ever happened to you? Just like you're scrolling through your life and go, man, there's some things that I've had to deal with in life and I really don't understand why. And you know what? I may not ever find the answers to that. And we just got to be cool with that, okay? But there's a few questions that I was thinking about, some pretty key questions in life that really go unanswered. These are just a few of them as we get started. At a movie theater, which armrest is yours? Y'all thought that was going to be deep, didn't you? No, I'm serious. Like, when you go to a movie theater, which armrest is yours? You may be one of those. I'm not that hardcore, but you may be one of those that, like, shows up 45 minutes early just to claim steak. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're there, and you got both arms, and, you know, your popcorn. You got both cup holders of popcorn in it. Like, nobody's sitting next to me. You may even go as far as to put a couple jackets on the seats beside you so nobody, you know, you one of those, like, don't sit next to me. And just look at them, like, don't sit here. Just to fake somebody out. Like, there was nobody else with you at the theater, but you want them to think those seats are taken. Anybody ever done that before? I know you're not going to admit that because that was, like, really crazy, right? Well, another question that we may not have the answers to would be, why does the doctor leave the room for you to change clothes? Is he going to see you naked anyway? Like, why do they do that? Why do they do that? Another one, this is a real serious one. Do married people really live longer than single people, or does it just seem longer? I mean, I'm serious. No, I'm happily married. Does married people really live longer, or does it just seem that way? I don't know. I don't think we'll ever get the answer to that. You figure that out. But we'll just leave that right here. Like, don't go home and ask your spouse that, especially if you're married. Don't go home and ask if they know the answer to that, because you might be he or she sleeping on the couch this evening, and the church said, oh, me. Absolutely, absolutely. But there is one question that every one of us wrestles with. I believe this. And is this: why do we do the things that we do that we really don't want to? Or why do we do what we don't want to do? Have you ever been faced with that? Why do I do the things that I don't want to do? Paul said that in the New Testament in Romans 7. It said, I don't really understand myself. You ever had that outer body experience where you go, you're like looking at yourself going, that was a jacked up decision. Like, I don't even understand myself right now. Okay, y'all aren't going to be honest this morning. That's cool. I'm going to be honest. Say, I've had those moments where I'm like, boy, you is so stupid. What were you thinking? Why do I do the things that I really don't want to do? Paul said, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Yeah, maybe you can relate to this one. I don't want to eat that. I'm not going to eat that. Stop putting that in front of me. I'm not going to eat that. And they go in the other room, watch TV, and what do? We start to eat that. Any honest people in church, this is church, like honest people, he may split this ceiling today and go, you're being dishonest in church. That sounded more like the devil, didn't it? Well, however you hear his voice, I'm just saying, if it scares the hell out of you, and it should, his voice should scare that out of us, amen? So we don't want to eat that. Or man, this month, for the month of October, I don't want to lose it on my kids. Anybody ever said, I don't want to lose it on my kids? But they come in from school, everything's lovely, everything's cool in your world, and they walk in and something disruptive happens in the house and you just explode. Anybody ever that happened to? Honest people in the house, yeah, man. And the rest of us are like, oh, me. I don't have kids, and if that's what it's going to be like, I don't want kids. That's another sermon. We'll teach you how to prevent that. That may be a home Bible study. I don't know. I won't be teaching that one. Thank you, Jesus. Why do we do what we don't want to do? I believe the answer is found in our habits. I believe the answer is found in our habits. It's what we naturally gravitate to. It's something that we may have seen modeled out in front of us. In other words, you may not have on purpose said that, I'm going to become like that, I want to be that way, but if it was modeled in front of you, and if it's a person that you admire or you look up to, after the course of time, or maybe your spouse, somebody that once you spend enough time with them, that habit or that thing is going to become evident in your own life. Again, that's why it's so important that we're very choosy with who we hang out with. Our culture has created a comfortable environment. We've created a comfortable environment in which, listen, to respond to circumstances and situations, not out of what we think is best. How many have ever done that? Like, we don't respond out of, most of the time, we don't even think about a response. Remember that message I preached about my first response when I was having that moment of honesty? My first response is not usually the one that I want you to see. I got to work on that. That's the part of me that I try to think through processes before I speak, because sometimes my mouth can get way out in front of me and then I've created a whole big old mess. Amen? I was giving my wife an opportunity to go amen. So, see, that's just honesty. Things like that happen, but we've created an environment where we don't even think about it, what's best, because most of the time we don't think it through. We just respond out of habit. We just respond out of what comes natural to us. So it's important that we're hanging out with people that have an ability to shape us and mold us. How many of you hang out with people? I know I'm asking a lot of questions, but I think that the word should be challenging. If you come in here and you're yawning and you're bored and you're like, I don't understand, then I need to challenge you some more, okay? But how many of you ever really just hang out with people and go, I need you to challenge me? Like, Pastor, challenge me. Amy, my wife, challenge me. In the gym, Jamie, challenge me. I say that today, but tomorrow I'll be like, shut to the up. I don't want to hear it, don't I? Yes. I'm just, moment of honesty. I don't know. Maybe Dr. Phil's going to pop up in a minute and give me an A for honesty today. I don't know, but the people that we're around, they shape and mold us. So be careful who you're hanging out with. Today is part two in the conclusion of this series entitled Habits. I said this last week, our habits have a way of holding us hostage. The things that we do out of habit that we naturally gravitate to, a lot of times will hold us hostage to the things that God really wants for our life. I think everybody in the room would say, if I was to ask another question, would say, I want to be everything that God wants me to be, and I want to have everything, but I just don't know how to get there. Could it be that our habits or your habits is holding you hostage this morning? Something that we know about the life of Christ when he was here on this earth is that he was all about community. Jesus was all about community. If you want to know what Forward Church is about, if you're visiting today and go, okay, the music a little loud and you're preaching too, so that's a little crazy. I'm really unsure about all that. What is Forward Church about? We're all about community. We want to be about the thing that Jesus is about. So when you're hurting, we're hurting. When you're going through low times, we want to walk through those low times with you. When you're on top of the mountain and everything's going great for you and your football team's winning, whether it's college or high school or whatever, I'll leave that right there, and you're excited about those things, hey, we want to be a part of that excitement. We want to celebrate with you, amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, I want to celebrate what you celebrate. I want to celebrate what you celebrate. I thought something was finna happen back there. I was like, do I need to pull the heat? I don't know what was going on back there. I need some notice when the church, see, if you stay excited and talk back in the middle of the message all the time, I'm cool with that. But if you just pop up like out of the blue, you may cause me to have a heart attack, okay? So it's better to be consistent in that response than it is just to catch a brother off guard, because we got some people stationed in the house. They may, I'm just saying. Here we go. But how did Jesus build community? This is what I want us to look at. I'm not so much on the habits of your unhealthy habits, but I'm saying we need to get in the habit of building community and surrounding ourselves with people the way Jesus did and the people that Jesus surrounded himself with. Would you agree with that this morning? Jesus was very intentional. He was very intentional about who he hung out with. He had a habit or a way of making everyone feel comfortable. Typically, he hung out with people that were nothing like him. I said that last week. How do we do it? We hang out with people that look like us, like the things that we like the football team that we like. We marry the people that like the football team that we like, or we ride around with that divided tag. That's how we do. But how Jesus did it and how we should model what he modeled for us is we should intentionally hang out with people that don't do anything like we do. I know that's totally against what we're probably trained to be at in the church. If you brought your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9. We're going to go over this story one more time. I'm going to read it all the way through. And then we're going to plug in some parts, and we're going to end right on time. If you say, man, you're talking really fast, that's a good thing. That means we will get out right on time. Everybody say, right on time. Yes, sir. Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 9, says this. Passing along, Jesus saw a man at his work collecting taxes. His name was Matthew. Jesus said, Matthew stood up and followed him. Verse 10. Later, when Jesus was eating supper at Matthew's house with his close followers, a lot of disreputable characters came and joined them. When the Pharisees saw him keeping this kind of company, they had a fit and lit into Jesus' followers. What kind of example is this from your teacher, acting cozy with crooks and riffraff? Verse 12, Jesus overhearing shot back, who needs a doctor, the healthy or the sick? Go figure out what this scripture means. I'm after mercy and not religion. I'm here to invite outsiders, not to coddle the insiders. This invitation to follow Jesus is for everyone. Can you say that? Say everyone. I want that to hit home. The invitation just to be a follower of Christ, to be a believer of Christ, is for everyone. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter how you vote. It doesn't matter what you did last year, last month, last night. That invitation is open for everyone. So what we see is Matthew was a tax collector. Nobody liked him, because the way the tax collectors worked back then, it's not like when you go see Sabrina today down at the tax office. It's like this. Whatever the government was asking for, the tax collectors raised it just enough so that they had a little something for themselves, in addition to what they were probably getting paid. So how many knows that's not a cool person that you want to hang out with? That's not somebody, hey, I want to come see you and give you more money than what I'm supposed to be paying. Like, nobody liked him. Nobody liked him. But Jesus, say Jesus, Jesus chose Matthew. Again, we wouldn't particularly say, hey, you a thief, I want you to come spend the night at my house and hang out. We're going to watch movies and have popcorn. You come hang out at my house, because we're not going to go to sleep. Not knowing what you a thief in my house. I'm setting all the alarms, like this place on lockdown. You breathe and the alarm's going off. And I'll be like, what's up? Like that. So we wouldn't choose to hang out. But what did Jesus do? Jesus chose to hang out with somebody who was nothing like him, or the people that he did hang around, the people that he was training. He was basically showing them, it doesn't matter what this cat's doing. It doesn't matter what he's doing. In a relationship, let me back up and say this. Because religion tells us, you got to change how you are. Then you can join us. We rip them apart. They come to church for the first time. We preach guilt and condemnation. We don't think we are, but we do. We preach guilt and condemnation. They're not coming back, and we'll never get the opportunity to win them for Christ. That's not how Jesus operates. I know that's contrary to how a lot of us have been trained and raised, but that's not how Jesus works, and we're going to see that. Religion says, change, then you can come hang out with us. But Jesus says, join us, and then you'll change. See, he puts a lot of stock in who he is. He's not worried about, I got to come up with a pizza night, spaghetti dinner night to raise finances. He knows that if you'll just hang out with me, if you'll really connect with me, what I have will change you. He's not even saying, I'm going to force you to change. I don't go into a marriage with Amy, which, by the way, I didn't go into a marriage with Amy and go, these are the things that I like, and this is how it's going to be. That just didn't happen, and she didn't do it to me. But over time, there were TV shows that I would never be caught dead watching. I don't care about flip that house and sell it and make more money and do a lot of work. Like, that stuff, I don't even like to watch it, and I don't even want her to watch it, because that puts a to-do list for Daddy, and I don't like that. When we got married, I didn't give her a list of things, said, this is how it's going to be, but yet we do that with Christ. I'll come hang out with you, but I still got to hold on to some things. I still got to do it my way. And he'll let you, but then when the end result doesn't turn out to the promise that he gave you, you need to check the sketch and go, where did I miss it? Where did I go wrong? In marriage, we're going to accept this or love this. That's basically what we say. You're going to accept me, Or this, we ain't down. And there's a lot of paper filed at a courthouse right now for people that said, you didn't love me the way that I thought you did, and so I'm down and I'm out. Jesus simply says, follow me. It's in that invitation to do life with Jesus. The second point I want to bring to your attention is Jesus was unbelievably comfortable with people who looked nothing like him. He was not uncomfortable. We get uncomfortable. The church gets uncomfortable. If somebody walks in and has a different fragrance, they may smell like weed or reefer. They may smell like an alcohol bottle. We get nervous because we don't know how we're supposed to handle that. But if we'll hang out and study how Jesus handled people like that, we wouldn't get uncomfortable, because if he's not uncomfortable, why should we be? We're uncomfortable because we've painted the picture and created an environment that says it has to be right before you can hang out and join us. And that's not the way Jesus did it. That Jesus didn't do that. He's not uncomfortable. You may be sitting here this morning with patterns of sin in your life. Well, what sin are you talking about? It doesn't matter. Big sin, little sin. There is none. It's sin. Just right across the board, it's sin. There was not one nail that was specifically for that item of sin in your life. It's all sin. And you may be sitting here going, well, I've got patterns of sin in my life, and these people around me, you know, Pastor B, they may be uncomfortable. Let me tell you something. That's their problem. Jesus doesn't have a problem with your sin. Your sin will prevent you from spending eternity with him. I don't want to water that down. It will. But if you'll truly connect with him and hang out with him, the same things that he loves, you will love. Just like Flip That House, whatever those programs are, the things that I really don't enjoy watching, but I know that she does. So I take an interest in the things that she takes an interest in. Therefore, now I watch those things. She may come in the house, and I'll be like changing it, like I was watching it. I didn't want her to know, because I started liking it. And I think like her. I'm like, yeah, that bathroom could be changed. No, that bathroom can't be changed like that. But see, that's how, if we hang out with Jesus, we'll be like, man, they smell like they just came out the brewery. Man, they smell like they just rolled one up and smoked that thing. But that's cool, because they're in the right house. They're in a safe environment that accepts them as they are. It doesn't affirm what they're doing, but accepts them as they are. That's a big difference. I'm going to get there in a minute. I don't want to move too fast. So basically, it's the story, the breakdown is like this. Jesus invites Matthew to hang out. Matthew recognizes, hey, you know what? I was made for more. I talked about this last week, that just going up and saying, hey, do you want to come to church with me? They may not have prepared themselves for that transaction to take place. But Jesus already knew in Matthew there was something going on that he identified with. There is something in my life. I need more. I was made for more. And him just popping the question, some people that you work with are just sitting on ready to say, I've tried church before, but I just need somebody. They're not even going to take the step and go, can I come with you? They're just looking for you to say, they may even say yes before you get the rest of the sentence out of your mouth. Like, I'm serious. And Jesus knew that about Matthew. He was already being prepared. Matthew, come and follow me. Without hesitation, Matthew came and followed Jesus. Now the Bible tells us that he was a tax collector. And in just a few moments, we're going to see how they went to Matthew's house, and it described that there were tax collectors and sinners. That just shows you how evil tax collectors were looked at back in the day. Like, the sinners are like, no, don't put me in that category. I'm cool with what I'm doing, but I'm not that. See, nothing's really changed. Because you got sin, I got sin. I'm not perfect. And you're like, man, don't put me in a category with homie over there. Nuh-uh. Because my sin's different. It's at a whole nother level. It'll still send you to hell if you don't get it right with Jesus. That's right. So basically, Matthew was like, this love that this dude has for me, this love and grace, man, I'm getting this. I'm understanding this. But now it doesn't say how long, what took place between the time of the invite to come follow him and the time that he invited him to his house. But during that time, Matthew starts, things start clicking him. He goes, the people that I'm hanging out with, man, they're hurting. They got issues. And I've seen how he's changing. I need to invite them people to hang out with me. Now, it's about that time that the disciples, as holy as they were, the disciples start freaking out because they know what's going to happen. They're like, Jesus, this cat, he's a thief. He's a liar, he's a cheater, and he's a tax collector. And you're going to invite him to come hang out with us? You're going to invite him in all of his patterns of sin? You're going to invite him to come hang out with us? Absolutely. He's going to come hang out. You're inviting him to come do life with us? You're inviting Matthew to come travel on the road with us? He's accepted into our community. Jesus responds, I'm sure, with saying, dude, it's fine. Somebody's like, don't freak out if you feel like I'm being disrespectful to him putting words that Jesus would say, dude. He just talks to me the way that I can understand. Thou shalt not normally doesn't get my attention like, hey, Weber, dude, get your act together. Like, that'll catch my attention. So Jesus is saying, hey, it's going to be okay, but it actually gets worse. We're going to his house. The disciples are like, what? We're going to his house? Do you know that the rest of his people may come? The Bible says, yeah, lots of them are coming. Many of them are coming. That's how Jesus does it. See, Matthew got a plan together. Matthew got a strategy together. How many of us live by strategy when it comes to really being the light and not hide it under a bushel? No. How many of us really are strategic in our life and displaying and being a model for others to see? Christ in me can be your hope. Not me. I'm not your hope. I can't do it for you. I can't write you a check. I can wash your car, but I can't do nothing else. But in me, Christ in me is your hope. So if you're looking for hope today, don't look at it from a pastor or words that, well, I still don't have hope. I'm leaving disappointed because you're looking at man's word. You need to look at the heart of God for you today. And he says, I am your hope. I am your hope. What kind of plan would we put to it? Matthew says, I'm going to throw a party. I'm going to get everybody together and put Jesus in the room, and I'm just going to see what happens. Now, what kind of party would we throw? Well, what we would probably do is go down to the print shop, get a bunch of colored paper, put a Bible study on it, and pass it out to everybody. Y'all come to my house for a Bible study. That's the plan we would do. How's that working for us? Or we'd say, hey, I'm going to put together a home group, and we're going to read for the next month seven habits for being a better Christian. How's that working out for us? What did Matthew do? Matthew said,
you ain't gotta leave the house to have
crank
a
it
good
up.
Time. I'm gonna bring the good time home to you. We'll have a house party. We don't need nobody. Turn your TV off. Break that boom box out. We'll wake up all the neighbors. Tell the whole block hates us. And the cops will show up and try to be a homebody. We're gonna have a house party.
That song went long enough. I was trying to enjoy that Mountain Dew. See, Matthew got the idea. If I can just get all my peeps in one room, if I get all my crew in one room and put the man who has the hope in the middle of the room, I'm gonna let him do it all. Then I'm not responsible for nothing. All I got to do is say, yes, God, I will do that. I'm going to do it in a way that them religious freaks, they don't understand what's fixing to happen and what's really going ready to go down. That's how I want to be. I am so sorry that I'm probably going to make a bigger mess. I didn't think that through. And y'all know I can't stand in one place, so I'll have to clean it up. Switching hats. So Matthew throws a house party. He throws a house party. Listen, the strategy for forming community, the community that Jesus built, was very strategic, on purpose. What are you saying, Pastor B? I want you to live life on purpose. Not by our habits. Man, our habits will hold us hostage. Our habits will have us doing stuff we regret later. And our habits are formed by people we hang out with. But you said we're supposed to hang out with them. Yeah, but you don't let them rub off on you. You got to be comfortable and confident in what you got going on the inside, that's going to change them. That relieves you of any responsibility you feel or the church has put on you that you got to change people and get them to church. You just get him to church, and we're not going to change him. He's going to change him. Take a Jensen Franklin praise break right there. Come on. So when you put people together who probably don't have when you put them together who probably don't have anything in common, there's going to be tension. Like if we were to do an interview with everybody and say, "How are you getting ready to vote?" There'd be tension. Who's your favorite football team? There'd be tension. What color should we put the carpet in the new church? That's going to be tension. That's why that discussion is had behind closed doors. We smart. There's a team that handles that. Don't take offense to it. But there'll be something else for you to do. Can I say that again? Just as a preliminary of what's going to happen one day. Don't be offended if it's not ran by your desk and your secretary hasn't got a notice to book a meeting with the pastors to discuss the plyage of toilet paper for the new church. There'll be something else for you to do. I promise. There's no time for us to be offended. There's no time for us to worry about our feelings. We need to worry about the feelings of other people, because those people are dying and going to hell and they're lost. Some of them have been in a church and we messed that up for them. And now it's our responsibility to reshape and remold and remodel for them what the love of Christ really looks like. Jesus wouldn't be put off. Jesus is not put off with our sin. Jesus is not put off with your sin. This is what we believe here at Forward Church. We believe that nobody's perfect, but we also believe that anything is possible. Nobody's perfect, but anything is possible. Didn't say everything, but anything is possible when our lives are surrendered to Jesus Christ. Do you believe that this morning? We want to, at Forward Church, we want to intentionally create an environment where people can belong before they believe. Let me say that again. That's one of the points. Should be on the screen. The model that Jesus modeled for us, Jesus allowed people to belong before they believed. You got to believe before you can belong. No. You just come and belong, and your values and things inside of you that need a little tweaking, they'll change. And maybe not after the first visit. You got to get committed. You got to stay consistent. And you'll see change. His work in your life is not a microwavable mission. It's not a drive up by Burger King and pop that order off and hope they get it right. Because there are times you leave the window and they told you the straw was in the bag and you got that pumpkin spice latte, whatever thing. You can't. There was no straw in the bag. For those listening by podcast, Forward Church, Burger King, Chiefland, Florida. They got it wrong. It's not always going to work out the way that you thought it was. Is he going to edit that off? No. I think we should leverage our influence to make changes. With the lives of other people, let me move right along. With the lives of other people, we should challenge ourselves to leverage our influence to impact other people's lives and create change. Would you agree with that? With the lives of other people. Amen. I'm sorry. I don't even know where I went. Jesus, take the wheel. Listen, when you declare that everyone is welcome, it changes the game. Every church in America and around the world likes that statement. We are a church where everyone is welcome, but not every church is prepared for what that really looks like. We must understand something. Following Jesus is not just about gathering, believing, and behaving. It's also about rescuing. You can come in here and we can gather together and I can throw out, Dad can spit out some scriptures and you can believe that stuff, and then we make a behavior modification, which is not what the work of Christ is in our life. It's not a behavior modification process. And we can start behaving a certain way, but everybody around us, because we haven't leveraged our influence, they're still lost. Are you tracking me? Being a Christian and being a member at this church is more than just gathering, which is important, believing, which is highly important, behaving, we need to get there, but it's about rescuing people. It's about rescuing. It's more than gathering, believing, and behaving. We must recognize there's a difference. Everyone's welcome. Listen, everyone's welcome is not the same as everything is affirmed. Just because everyone's welcome doesn't mean that everything they bring with them is affirmed and we applaud it. Okay? But everyone's welcome. Don't miss that. It's real tricky. See, a community of believers is at its best when it embraces both grace and truth. We will be at our best as a church and a community of people when we embrace and display grace and truth. I was going back and listening to podcast from Carl Lentz at the Deeper Level Conference, and he said a statement that I've heard him say lots of times, but it clicked today while I was getting ready. A little bit of grace opens up a whole lot of room for truth. We want to cram the truth of what the book says, which there's a lot in there about do's and there's a lot of stuff in there that we should refrain from. Yes, I'm not saying that, but we want to just give truth and just a little bit of grace. But if you'll give just a little bit of grace, it opens up a whole new window and a whole new opportunity to then present truth. That's where change comes, because we want to give people the opportunity to come and just hang out before they actually believe. Some of y'all don't believe the right way. Some of y'all don't believe everything is in the Bible. Some of you don't. I don't act exactly the way that it's supposed to say, but I'm accepted from grace. Not I'm having to spend a bunch of works so I can get grace. I'm already covered in grace. And people who look at you walking down the street are looking at me and going, yeah, but I know what he used to do, and I know what he used to say, and I know, and I heard him the other day with his wife on the phone, and I saw him tucked down at Harry's or Henry's in the bathroom because the order was wrong. Some kind of preacher he is. No. I'm covered in grace. How about you? I live my life from a place of grace. But we'll be at our best when we embrace grace and truth. And that's tricky. It's tricky for a reason, because it makes ministry messy. It makes ministry messy. Jesus is the only one. I'm coming down the home stretch. Jesus is the only one that embodies both grace and truth. The rest of us lean towards one side or the other. We either have a lot of grace. Brother, come hang out with us at our church. We'll just let you do whatever. Or you're leaning to the other side. Oh my God, I can't believe he just smoked that reefer. Like there's churches and groups, and I don't want to be a part of it. We too can become that if we don't balance and embody both grace and truth. So most of us, including myself, lean towards one side or the other, but he's reshaping and molding me. This message, if it isn't for anybody else, I'll go back and listen to it. It's for me, because I need to make sure I'm embodying both grace and truth. And when somebody cuts me off or does me wrong or agrees to do something, then I don't get whatever. I got to make sure that I'm giving grace. But the truth is, you may not get another opportunity to do that to me again. That's the truth. But I'm not going to hold it against you. That's grace and truth. I'll show you another example of that. But the weird thing is, we lean based on the people that we're around. So if we're around the religious people, we lean more towards the truth side. And if we're back, and the Bible says we're supposed to be all things to all people. Yeah, you need to make sure you're balanced. But you could be on this side going, just do whatever, just however. We need to make sure that we're balanced. Everybody say balance. A community that isn't operating in both grace and truth is going to be a community that is a little less than loving. So if we don't get that right, if we don't balance it, we're going to be everything less than really just being fully loving. There's a story in John chapter 8. We all know this story. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture where Jesus is in the streets, and the religious people who are the whistleblowers literally pull a lady out from the act of committing adultery. Not she was probably able to put her clothes back on, and you know, I'm not even going to paint that picture for you, but I'm just saying the Bible says she was caught in the act, and they pulled her and threw her at the feet of Jesus and said, the Scriptures say and the law of Moses says that we're to stone this woman. And you all know what happens. Jesus started doodling in the dirt. I've heard lots of different stories. Was he writing the names of the girls that they were with last night, because after he got up, after he finished, whatever he wrote, like that may be one of the first questions I ask. If I get my mind off of his glory and his majesty, I'm like, God, Jesus, that's one of them questions that we don't ever get the answer to. Like, what did you write? But you know what? It's really none of my business if I really want to knock that down. But he said, after he finished, he stood up and said, but ye without sin, you cast the first stone. And they all dropped their rocks and split. He embodied grace and truth. Watch this. Because he told her, he said, where are those that condemn you? There's no here. They're no longer here. And then he said, I no longer condemn you. That's the grace. But then the truth was, now go and sin no more. I used to think that was a dig, like, now don't go sin no more. That's what we do in counseling sessions. You're forgiven, but don't you sin no more. No, you know what I think Jesus understood? That sin, there's a sting to sin. Have you ever felt the sting of sin in your life? How many need to put up both hands? Have you ever felt the sting of sin? He understood. So the grace was, I don't condemn you. The truth was, don't sin anymore. You're forgiven. Just that simple. There was no seven steps to peace and seven steps to come back home. No. Because everyone is welcome. Jesus balanced grace and truth. There's no room for judging. No room for judging. Listen, no room for excluding. There's no room for turning our backs on other people. There's no room for reducing people down to a label that says you're not healthy and you're not normal. You're not spiritual. How many of us have ever been caught up? You're not normal and that's not right. And we can't label people. Why? Because the implication is you're not normal, but I am. You're not healthy, but I am. See, we got to embody both grace and truth. I wonder if we as Forward Church might be a community of people right here in Chiefland, Florida, that is so relentlessly loving that people who gave up on church a long time ago might give church another try. If we are really being strategic and intentional in our walk with Christ around others and the same behind closed doors, let me say that. That people would say, I don't necessarily believe everything that Forward Church believes. Maybe I'm not all there yet. But that they would say, but it's a safe place for me to explore this relationship and this invitation to follow Jesus. Okay? It's about, will they feel comfortable enough to come into this house, whether it's youth, whether it's on a Bible study, whether it's us roasting marshmallows at someone's house. Where they feel comfortable enough to go, I may not understand fully what church is about, but I feel like it's a safe place for me to explore the invitation to follow Jesus. Number five, and lastly, he created community where people could regularly confess that no one is perfect. That's the type of community that's what he modeled. He didn't have to run around and go, nobody's perfect. Like, if you look around the room at Matthew's house, them dudes weren't perfect. Like, nobody had to stand up and make an official announcement. They're not perfect. Matter of fact, the disciples knew it, and they were trying to tell Jesus, they got issues. Are you sure you want that reputation? Are you sure you want that on you? Because we might be guilty by association. And I want to be guilty by association. I want to do it just like Jesus did. You call me guilty, you do whatever you think you need to do to try to break me down. But as long as I'm doing it like Jesus did, I'm good. Because your approval don't mean squat to me. It's him saying, well done, thou good and faithful all the time, sometimes, whenever, faithful servant. That's why we do what we do. It starts with the idea that everyone's welcome. How will we build a church? How will we build a community of people that looks and did it like Jesus did? It's going to be this way. When our message is one of hope and one that says everyone's welcome, and we do mean everyone. And I'm telling you, while everyone likes the idea of a church where everyone's welcome, you need to know in advance that it makes ministry messy. It makes ministry. You may not understand with all the creative ideas that we do around here to reach lost people, because for the record, it's for the lost people. You may not fully understand or even have the complete buy-in, but what you do need to do is this: trust and believe. Trust that we've prayed about whatever it is. We're not just pulling, and we don't have a lot of programs. We're not just pulling stuff out and go, ooh, let's try this and we can be the hot new thing. Blah, let's do this. No. We're trying to do stuff to reach lost people. We're trying to put tools in your hands. Can you imagine what your work environment would be if the people that you work with were changed because of Christ in you? We complain about our work environment, but we don't want to do anything about it. What am I supposed to do? Be Jesus. You be the change. Let that take on a whole new meaning. You be the change. I can't. I don't even have an office. I'm out on the floor and I'm doing this and that and that and you-ba-da-ba-do-ba-da-da. Whatever. What you focus on is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And whatever comes your way during that day, you make sure you exemplify the mind of Christ, the actions of Christ. You're not always going to get it right, and don't let guilt and condemnation go, well, you blew it today, hothead. Why do we do the things that we do? Because that's a habit to us. But we need to get in the habit and of the habit of forming community on purpose and with intention. It starts with a simple confession: I'm a mess and I need God. Can you say that? I'm a mess and I need God. Say it again. I'm a mess and I need God. That's what that's going to look like, and that's how it's going to start. And for those that say, you know, I hear you talking that jive about, you know, having issues, but man, I pretty much got it all together. Let me invite you to go to Galatians chapter 3 real quick, and it says this. Oh, excuse me. 1 John 1:8 says, if we claim that we're free of sin, we're only fooling ourselves. A claim like that is arrant nonsense. On the other hand, if we admit our sins, make a clean breast of them, he won't let us down. He'll be true to himself. He'll forgive our sins and purge us of all of our wrongdoing. He'll take it away. If we claim that we've never sinned, we out and out contradict God and make a liar out of him. A claim like that only shows off your ignorance of God. So everybody in here, again, I'm a mess and I need God. When we create an atmosphere like that, one of safety, and respond like Jesus did, he'll draw people. What are we about at Forward? Life transformation and life change. What's that church about with all the fluorescent stuff on the doors? What's that place about? Life change and life transformation. We're to be ambassadors of hope. We should be handing out grace and mercy like candy. And they'll be like little kids. You show a kid candy, they're going to be all over that. Like mustard on a hot dog. And people who really need the grace and love and mercy of God, they're going to be all over that when we show it the way that Jesus did. Grace and truth. Grace and truth. Following Jesus compels us to see people not for who they are today, but for who they can become tomorrow. We must give people hope. What they did yesterday doesn't determine who they can become tomorrow. That's our purpose. That's our mission. How many received that this morning? Father, we love you today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for its transforming power in my life. I thank you for its transforming power as it was delivered today. Father, may we fully embody, just as your Son modeled for us, May we fully embody grace and truth. Father, if there's any time where we try to get that out of balance because of our own agenda, Father, may we surrender to you. with every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you say, you know what? I'm more than a mess. I'm a mess, and right now I don't have any hope. Would you just slip your hand up? I just want to pray for you. You say, you know what? I am a mess, and I don't have any hope. Would you stand right where you are? Would you be so bold, just those who raise their hand, to stand right where you are? Father, I lift up every single person in this room that is standing. If this is for you, you can still stand. Father, I lift up every person that is standing. God, and I ask in the name of Jesus that your blood would cleanse every sin. Wash away the doubt. Wash away the condemnation. Wash away the guilt. Father, may they feel a fresh start coming at the sound of amen in this prayer. Father, may they feel a freshness over their life. Father, renew them. Renew their thought process. Renew their hopes, their dreams. Just because of a mistake doesn't mean that we can't get it right now. Let's say this prayer together. Oh God, I come before you today confessing I'm not always right and I don't always have it all together. I confess my blunder. I confess my imperfections. And I ask for you to forgive me of all of my sin. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a spirit that is longing, running after you. In Jesus' name, I am renewed now in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's important that you understand the heartbeat of the ministry that you're connected to. And I know it seems like a lot of times when I pulled her up here because I need her to be next to me. When she's working in kids, I feel that. I know. So I need her right here, right now. She probably thought, oh, what's he going to make me say? Nothing. Just be there. It's important that you understand the heartbeat of the ministry that you're connected to. And it was like as I was finishing this message up, it was like I could hear the enemy going, it's just another one of those messages trying to stir vision in people. Because without vision, we will perish. I'm confident of that. His word says so. So if we're not constantly putting vision out there of what our responsibility is as a community of believers, it will die. The ministry is precious. It's important. Oh, is it in trouble? Not at all. I'm just saying it's important that you understand the heartbeat of the ministry. It's important that you understand the heartbeat of the ministry because it's what's going to keep you going. It's what's going to keep us going. Amen? Do you love Jesus today? Embody grace and truth. Be the hope and be the light. We love you. Pastor Jamie, I'm going to get you to come and close us out in prayer. Don't forget, 4 o'clock today is...
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.